Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
We did it. 100. Welcome to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the 100th episode extravaganza.
Yeah, wow.
Podcast.
Megan, our guest host, is just jumping right into things.
I know. I mean, for anyone who's listening last week, you're probably just like really confused about what's happening.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Welcome, Jim Viscardi.
I'm back.
He's back.
I missed everybody. So much.
Oh,
I don't think that's actually.
Listen. That is true.
What do you mean?
He missed all of our listeners.
Oh,
he did
wow.
He did not miss Hoffer.
Wow.
I'm just kind of in the gray area here.
Wow. Y'all, I'm a little hurt by that. On our 100th episode, everyone decides to just be like, "Bah, Jim never loved us anyway." Untrue.
Okay. We knew this
untrue.
Was
so
we've
much.
Been,
so
we've
much.
Been building up to this.
So much so that you guys just did the show without, you know, were able to do the show without me. No hiccups. It was a great show. That's how much faith I have in you guys. I could have just said, no, we're just going to skip a week and just go.
I mean, we've never skipped a week before.
We've never skipped a week.
Literally in your reason. Yeah.
Literally never. I mean, but I could have. That's the role of the producer.
It would have delayed episode 100, and we just can't do that. Because now we're here.
There is a great comment from Rankin 2700. I'm disappointed that Hoffer isn't wearing his CB shirt that took him 5 years and 28 episodes to get.
It's because I wore it last week. I wore it last week. So, you know.
That is an OG listener right there. Those who know.
Yeah, that was
the first quarter of this show's life. It was at least once a week Christian would complain about having a shirt.
You made it to the road to 100, but if you were here for the road to Christian getting his CB shirt, you are the true OG fan if you remember that journey.
It is true. So people are talking about how everyone has missed at least one episode. Technically, I have participated in all 100 episodes. The only episode that I missed was a special episode where there was some sort of interview that I missed because that is literally the only episode that I have missed over the course of these. I've never missed a regular episode, weirdly enough. Mm-hmm.
Christian, he's almost missed a few, and then through sheer force of will. I remember just Megan and I getting ready to do an episode, and Christian's like, "I'm here,
Yeah,
the Pokemon gods, Arceus smiled upon Hoffer and said, "You know what? We're gonna make sure you're in this episode."
Well, even this episode. So, you know, apparently
were you
we're
about
not
to bail on the 100th episode. Is that
we are in the process of doing a big project in our backyard, and so we have cleared out a lot of brush and stuff. And so my wife scheduled somebody to come and pick it up because our city has weird rules about like how much yard waste you're allowed to like get rid of. Yeah, and so they were supposed to be here at like 9:30. And then they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll be here somewhere between 9:30 and 11:30, but we're going to probably be there first thing in the morning." Like 11:30 rolls around, I'm like, you know, these people better not be screwing around with my 100th episode. They delayed it. They're not going to be here until 1 p.m. But it's like, "Oh, come on." Like, you know, Like, I don't need loud noises going on right outside of my office. So, anyways, this is,
let's look. So we had some, as always, best laid plans, or what is it? You know, man plans, God laughs kinds of thing, where, you know, we had an interview, set up for this episode. We had to, postpone it a little bit. So, you know, life gets in the way, life does things. And so, whatever, we'll just do it another time. Otherwise we have a very fun episode for you. So if you are new and you're just coming into this show for the 100th episode, well, there's plenty, luckily for you, there's plenty to go back on and listen to. It'll take you a while, but people have done it. There have been people who have left us iTunes reviews and said, I found this show and I went back and I listened to all the episodes and I've absolutely loved it. So welcome. We talk about all things Pokemon, you name it. If it's got Pokemon in the name, we're talking about it. We talk about the anime, the manga, the games, both mobile and console, and board game variety too, when they come up. And, and yeah, and then, you know, then we do a deep dive discussion in the second half of the show, and then Christian gives us a Pokemon fact of the week that makes you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. So let's just jump right into it.
Okay, yeah, let's jump right into things. I don't even know where to start. Oh, well, a lot of Pokemon card news this week.
A lot of Pokemon card news. So much so that PSA said, nope, don't send us your cards because they ain't getting graded.
Yeah, they have suspended. So the PSA is one of the largest grading companies out there, and they are so overwhelmed with the sheer volume. Now, this extends beyond just Pokemon cards, yep, but Pokemon cards are a huge part of this. And they have suspended, basically, they will not accept your cards until, like, June. Like, you know, so that really speaks to the just how busy and big Pokemon cards are right now, because, you know, like, you know, sports cards have come back recently too, which is always,
sports cards have come back in a big way.
I mean, cards of all variety. Yu-Gi-Oh, there's a Yu-Gi-Oh card that recently just sold for a ton of money in Japan. I mean, it's like a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's with baseball cards and stuff like that, it kind of cracks me up, because, like, when I was a kid, I still have, like, hundreds of thousands of baseball cards, you know, a lot of baseball cards. And, you know, I remember, like, late 90s, that just kind of died, you know, and it's wild to see that they've figured out a way to make them popular once again.
It's been interesting, because I think that one of the things that they've said, that people have been finding, like Christian said, like, people have been basically, like, I have a buddy of mine just, you know, in my town who just basically bought a storage unit that has nothing but baseball cards in it, and went through a whole bunch of them and sent just, like, boxes to PSA. So there's a whole lot, you know, going on right there. Obviously, PSA gold standard when it comes to grading on that, you know, for the trading card front. Obviously, there is Beckett. Beckett is still, you know, Beckett is moving a little bit faster, but that's because people aren't necessarily using them as much. But Beckett is just as good of a place to get your cards graded if you don't want to wait. But I think, you know, when people talk about graded cards, you know, as far as, you know, population and things like that of certain grades or whatnot, PSA is definitely where they go. So if you have been waiting, there may be an end in sight if you've already sent them in. If you have waited too long to send them in, well, now you have to wait a little bit longer. So
I'm
curious if this will have any meaningful impact on kind of the climate of, you know, Pokemon, if, like, card resale value, like, if the ones that have already been graded, if they're going to shoot up temporarily even in more value, or if, because people cannot be, you know, sending them in for PSA grading, necessarily want to take the chance with Beckett not having the same kind of return investment, if it's going to be like a moratorium basically come, like, July, suddenly shoots up again. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that works.
Speaking of return on investment, someone has waited a decent enough amount that they got a pretty sweet return on in their investment with a new Charizard card sale.
Yeah, so this was one of the 10 gem mints. So basically the highest rating you can get from PSA. And it sold for over $300,000. Now, the interesting thing is, and, you know, the big commentary around this card, like, obviously $300,000, a lot of money.
It's a lot of
less money than two other similarly graded cards that sold a few months ago. So everyone is starting to wonder if we finally hit the plateau for especially these vintage Pokemon cards, if the market has finally, you know, reached its high point. Because, you know, we have seen, I mean, you know, it feels like every other week we talk about some of these cards just going for tons of money online. And so, you know, just maybe we finally reached a big, a top of the market, which would be nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's mainly
just over Charizard saturation. I mean, everything is Charizard. Charizard, which I know, like, I mean, obviously the demand is going to put price. I wonder if it's just the fact that people are kind of tired of Charizard, fingers crossed.
Well, I think
the price is kind of topping out.
I got to imagine. I mean, look, when this started, there weren't as many Charizards out there, right? Like, there, people had just pulled them out, people who had them already graded or whatever, like, you know, just like they had them. And then all of a sudden, boxes just started showing up out of the woodworks. People apparently had enough foresight to be sitting on boxes of this stuff that a whole bunch more came into the market. Now how many more? Well, it's negligible, but definitely more than what there was when this started. And so what'll probably happen is, this is the new kind of plateau for it. And then in 10 or 15 years, we will see a new rise. And then in 40 and 40, you know, I wouldn't even say in 40 years. I will venture to say in 20 years, PSA 10, Gem Mint 10 Charizard will probably sell for close to $1 million in 20 years.
You know,
remind me in 20 years just to see how it goes.
That'll be it. That'll be episode like 3000. No,
that'd be a long haul.
I think there would have to be a couple of market conditions that would have to happen in order for, you know, a card to break that, you know. It's certainly possible. Like, my main concern is, like, you know, I was just like thinking about, like, you know, because I suppose that as these cards get more and more rare, as we get farther out, supposing that Pokemon remains as popular as it does, and also factoring in stuff like inflation, you know, because, you know, $1 million, you know, like, you know, we've only had a handful of very rare card sell for like $1 million, if that, like, you know. I'm looking it up now just to make sure.
We've had
you know, a couple, like, you know, there was a Mickey Mantle baseball card that sold for $5.2 million, that, you know, that was literally just this year. And, you know, so it's not surprising.
It'll be curious, because if Pokemon kind of falls out of the public conscious, you know, for even just for a little bit in between now and then, I think that will, you know, I think that will help, right? I think now the tough part now is, like, everyone kind of knows it, so, like, no one's going to be throwing out, you know, Charizard cards anymore, right?
Yeah,
but. But, you know, even then, you know, over 20 years, it's not like more, a whole ton more are going to get added to the ecosystem. So, you know, there is a finite number of these, and will they, it'll be interesting to see how many of them stay in circulation. And again, like, these are first edition Shadowless Gem 10, you know, PSA cards, right? So that's a smaller subsect of a subsect of, you know, of, you know, whatever. So, but anyway, like, it'll be interesting to say, to see. But yeah, but like I said, I think that's all we have on that.
Yeah.
I guess what it really depends on is how much money Logan Paul is willing to put into this. I think that's really what it's going to come down to.
Logan Paul's going to be like, what? He's in his 30s now, so he's going to be 50 at that point. Just like I said, I'm buying more boxes.
Reliving the good old days. That's always, you know, trends come around.
That's it. Look, nostalgia always wins, and that is a surefire way to get it to work. But also in Pokemon trading card game news, we did get news of the next set coming out, Chilling Rain.
Yeah. So Chilling Rain will be out this June. The big thing about this one, you know, in addition to the fact that both ice, you know, the Calyrexes will be in this one, mm-hmm. which, you know, is a pretty big deal. But one of the things that, you know, kind of struck me, give me a second. I'm pulling up some of these cards. You know, the Calyrex, both Calyrex cards are pretty good. You know, the VMAX cards, you know, they both are getting VMAX cards. They are both all about energy manipulation. So, you know, like Shadow Rider Calyrex is very much, its max Geist attack does 30 more damage for each energy attached to any of your Pokemon in play. And it has this ability which allows it to, basically get out energy cards. You can basically double the amount of energy cards that you get out and play. Like, I feel like a lot of people are going to be building decks around this because, you know, it is a hard hitter and mm-hmm. that energy distribution is just key. So there's a lot of good cards, I think, that are going to be coming out with the set. But, you know, what really surprised me, and this is kind of curious, you know, I really am curious about what's going to happen next for the TCG. So we just had the Isle of Armor set. Mm-hmm. We're going straight from that into, the Chilling Rain, which is all Crown Tundra, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, I kind of figured they were going to space out the Crown Tundra a little bit. Just because we're getting, because there's so many legendary Pokemon. Mm-hmm. They are not. I mean, the Galarian legendary birds are going to be part of this set. So they are just, you know, choo-choo. We're going right back to Sinnoh. I'm willing to bet that's how we're going to go. I think that how they're going to approach this is, for the next cycle, because we still have this, like, mystery, like, V-Union. We know that there's going to be another new mechanic that's going to get added. It's not going to be part of the June set. So it's going to be part of whatever the fall set is what the expectation is. And, I think that, that whatever this V Union or V Star
Zenpai in the chat. Wow. That's a sad train.
Well, it's just kind of like, I just find it kind of fascinating that they are not, kind of drawing out those expansions a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, obviously, battle style.
I fully expected a set just based off the Galarian legendary birds. Like, that to me feels like one they would have done for sure. But I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. It's just clearly. Yeah, you know, I'm actually really curious exactly how the Pokemon trading card game will line up with Pokemon Legends. That is going to be my big question.
Well, especially as far as like game mechanics and stuff like that go too, right? Because we've already gone through most of the Galarian stuff. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be an interesting one. But go ahead, Megan, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, basically echo what you were saying, like, gameplay mechanic-wise, because we know so little about Legends and, you know, necessarily how it'll work other than the fact that it's more of a, free-roaming kind of Breath of the Wild-esque arena that you're working within. I'm curious how that'll kind of translate to the TCG. All I want is just, like, one of the artifact cards that's basically just, like, the wooden Pokeball. That's all I want. I also just really want... they start doing like pre-orders for Legends, that they have like a special bundle kit, you know, somewhere that it comes with a replica of that Pokeball, because I will absolutely be buying it. Also, this is a complete kind of tangent, but I know we've discussed in a previous episode that the Pokemon company was releasing like a replica, you know, diecast version of the Master Ball that sold out in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, now, copies of that that have been sent out are being sold that I've been seeing bought secondhand for $900. So it's ridiculous, just in case anyone was curious.
Yeah. Okay. I could not bring myself to buy that Pokeball. And
it's expensive.
It is. It was like 100.
Well, now people are legitimately selling it for 900. So they're making bank on it, I guess.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Is it sold out everywhere?
Oh, it sold out through the Pokemon Company immediately. And if you go on eBay or Mercari, someone literally 2 hours ago bought one of the Master Balls for $900.
Oh, my goodness.
So...
wow!
I guess that's where it's going. That's where all the money's going. Pokeball replicas. So,
It doesn't even open up. It doesn't even open.
It doesn't matter. The people want what the people want.
That's the point. It should matter.
You know, now that Jim knows how much these things are selling for, it would not surprise me if Jim doesn't go and like round up a street savvy crew. of drivers and basically do a Fast and Furious heist.
Yeah.
Only with
die. Man, look, the chat is turning on me. I'm gone for 1 week and the chat is all like, that's it. Jim's got his new piggy bank. Jeez.
Well, all I know is that the Pokemon Company should really release more of these. I say this because I would really like them to do a replica of the Love Ball, basically, because I have ordered a custom one for my wedding as part of the decoration at my wedding. I would really like an official one to be made so I could buy it and then see it, you know, turn around for, you know, $800, apparently, because that is the Pokemon fandom at this point. So,
man,
it's nuts. It's nuts. Anyways, I thought I would get everyone an update on the fact that people are selling that collectible Master Ball for $900 USD.
Good Lord. All right. I will say when we get into the deep dive, I've been quietly, I haven't peeked. I've been quietly opening some packs to go through some
cards. We've all heard you.
Battle Styles. The crinkling that's just been going on in the background.
We've been teasing everyone ever so quietly with
fumbling around. Crinkling.
I did. I actually had an opportunity. I bought 10 packs of Battle Styles from the Pokemon Center. Can't find them at any stores locally, but you know they did have some stock pop in last week, and so I like bought a ton. I have a great story. Speaking of Pokemon cards, so last week, my son is 5 years old and. We have a bunch of neighbor kids who are all about his age, thereabouts, and apparently all of them are super into Pokemon. And so I'm up here in my office, like working away, and my doorbell goes off. And you know, we have like one of those like video doorbells, and so like I go and see like who it is, and it's like some of the neighbor kids, and it's like there's like three of them, and all of them have. These like large, like oversized Pokemon cards that you get from the boxes. And so my wife answers the door and she's like, yeah, hey, can I help you? And the kids are like, yeah, can Christian come outside to play, to trade Pokemon? And I was like, oh man. That's like, apparently I just have packs of neighborhood kids coming to my house wanting to trade Pokemon cards. And then after that, like a little while later, one of the little girls, comes up and she's like, I don't have one of the big Pokemon cards like everyone else does. I'm like, let me see what I can pull. So I go downstairs, give her, find one, give it to her, and her sister comes out of nowhere and just like, she has two now! Where's my big Pokemon card? I'm like, I don't have another big Pokemon card. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And it's like, and like they start fighting in front of my house. And I was just like, oh no.
Wow. That little girl gymmed you. She
did. You. So I'm going to teach them basically. So I bought a ton of Pokemon cards from the Pokemon Center and we're going to open them up. And then they're going to take turns picking out which Pokemon cards they want, with me getting first dibs on, like, if any of them are actually worth anything, I'm going to take them and, flip them. But all the rest of them, I'm going to let them decide, they're going to do a snake draft one at a time, and we're going to do it that way. So, yeah. And so I've been explaining to my, I've explained to all my neighbors what I'm going to do. And they're all just kind of like looking at me with these like blank eyes, like, oh, you're playing with Pokemon cards with the small children. Okay, cool, cool, cool. I was like, oh.
You've become like this hilarious gang leader in your neighborhood. I wish I could hear what those kids like say about you. Like, oh, we should go to the chosen one. must go to him and just like get stuff. Oh my gosh.
The best part was one of them came over and they're like, and like Darcy answered and was like, yeah, can you come out to trade? And Darcy's like, me? And she's like, and he goes, oh no. No, not you, Christian. oh, it was great. Man.
Before we forget, I do want to shout out Acme White, who needs some luck. His Matchless Fighters booster box is coming in today, and he is wanting to pull the alt art Galarian. He called it Chocobo, which I love.
Chocobo, wrong franchise, but I love it.
cool. All right, let's take a quick break. And then when we get back, we'll hit some Pokemon Go news and some other Pokemon news, and then we'll take a stroll down memory lane and we'll go through some cards. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
The best comment was... Hey, where is it? Christian Hoffer is Lord of the Cutie Flies.
Basically, he's got his whole little gang up there in an Ohio suburb just ready to take over with Pokemon. He's becoming it. Giovanni.
To be fair, just one important note of pride, Megan. I do not live in a suburb. I live in Columbus proper. No suburban flight here.
Isn't Columbus just a suburb of some larger city in whatever state you're from?
What do you know about geography? My God, we're located in the center of the state. We're the literal state capital, Jim.
It's Ohio. I've
literally never been to Ohio.
Oh my God.
I know Ohio exists.
Well, like, listen, I know that you guys who live in like the Nashville, Chattanooga, Memphis triangle. The urban triangle of Tennessee. Yeah, I know. You know why? Because I know geography. I've actually traveled to other places outside.
You've traveled to other places. There's no reason to go to Ohio.
I've been to plenty of states except Ohio.
There's one.
I apologize to all of our fans who may live in Ohio. This is not a slam on your state, more just a slam on Christian.
There's one. There's tons of reasons to go to Ohio. not only do we have a national park and the lake and three major metropolises.
Oh, you guys have the Baseball Hall of Fame, don't you?
No, we don't have the Baseball Hall.
We have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rock and Roll. See, I want to go there.
I will say this. Of the three major population centers in Ohio,
is it the Football Hall of Fame that's in there?
Yes, we also have the Football Hall of Fame.
So you have a Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, football was founded. Professional football was founded here in Ohio.
All right.
The NFL, used to have their offices here in Columbus, and we have all sorts of football history. First black football player, professional black football player, played in it's actually Shelby, Ohio, which is like, wild because Shelby is a podunk town with a population of like 4,000. And guess what? Like 100 years ago, podunk town with a population of like 200. Ohio's a great city. Lots of,
you just said Ohio is a great city. Different. That's how much you care about.
Yeah, Ohio is a great city.
As a city.
You know what? Jim, you try having an infant and say all your words right.
My favorite thing is the chat just basically said none of these places are good because none of them have a Pokemon Center. So
that's fair.
Accurate.
Therefore, this entire country. Just a waste.
I don't understand. That is just look. That is just a thing that I don't understand. Like, how have they not opened Pokemon centers stateside yet?
Because so the reason why is because they used to have, I think, two Pokemon centers. They have one in like Times Square or something like that.
They had one that was like a section of the Nintendo store in in New York City.
And that one didn't do very well.
Anyone who's been to the Nintendo store in New York City knows that store is small as hell.
And it is the tiniest little
that's
corner.
Why it didn't do well.
Well,
it's also super easy to walk past and not notice.
But to be fair, I mean, look, rent in New York City, crazy expensive. But think of it. I think like if they were to open three Pokemon centers, they would 100% be like destinations, right? Like do them in, not obviously your big mega metropolises, although I guess, I would imagine one would do well in LA. One would probably do well in New York. I just can't imagine.
We literally just had to talk about how it
I know. But you do one in Chicago. I bet you one would do well in Chicago.
There should be one in a place where it's not too expensive, kind of centrally located.
A city that
is rapidly growing. I was going to say Columbus because
Chicago, you could probably do. I'd probably stick one in Florida because stick one in Orlando. Florida. I bet you it would.
That
do
one
well.
Would get robbed.
You need to be nicer to our friends in Florida.
I mean, the real place that needs it is going to be in Washington, Bellevue, Washington. Yeah. That's Pokemon Company is located in America. They have the big Pokemon office. They have Charizard statues. It's a really cool place to visit. If they were going to do it, they would need a pop-up shop in Bellevue and then to like spread out because it's not going to deal exactly with the price in like Seattle or something.
I can see them opening one in Atlanta as well. It's probably
Atlanta would do well. I mean, there's a huge population there of, Japanese, immigration, South Korea. I mean, that would be an excellent place, especially to kind of cater to a more diverse audience and then move forward. So that's what I would
Bruce Bain in the chat's got it. So what I want really is for them to open a bunch in all, like open them in malls in all the states. So you could get like state specific stuff. Because I am a sucker for that stuff. Like anytime, worlds happen or whatever, when it was here in Nashville, right? I bought all the Nashville tchotchke, Pokemon crap I could get my hands on.
And then he immediately flipped them on eBay.
No, I still have them. I still have every single one. And I love that stuff.
Rhinestone Cowboy Pikachu is sitting in my living room. So
For our 100th episode.
Dungeon Master 540 in the chat has it exactly right. State Pokemon badges. And the only way you could get them is by going to them. You can't buy them online. You have to go to them.
Now, I can't really argue with somebody with a fantastic name like Dungeon Master 540.
That is true. We all agree.
OMAC, they should have bought the GameStops when they were going under. I don't know if they need that many Pokemon centers.
It would be intense.
That would be a lot.
We still have Pokemon news to talk about.
We do. That was a nice tangent. So anyway, let's go. We'll do Pokemon Go, and then we'll talk about the kids' books. The Easter event, spring event, whatever you want to call it, is available now. I, for not the life of me, cannot find a Team Rocket grunt that has a freaking Shadow Execute for me to catch, and that's
I have also had that problem, and it's kind really of just these collection challenges could have been so cool, but they keep on doing goofy stuff with them. I think that's like the best way of putting it. It's just like what a silly.
I thought I was going to have a problem finding the Chansey, but I just found a Chansey this morning. The only one that in the wild that I'm having trouble finding is Azumarill, and I wish that was like an evolution one, because like I had a bunch of Marills pop up everywhere. Mm-hmm. All of the Team Rocket grunts for me have had basically every other one. I haven't had the psychic. I'm waiting for the psychic one, but even when the psychic one pops up, it's not guaranteed you're going to get an execute because, is Azumarill's catch 15 execute? Is Calder 27 saying in the chat?
Yes, that is the, you can't get it. Wow, Nido, I just pulled up my Pokemon Go and Nidoking just like popped up in the wild.
Oh, so Azumarill is not in the wild. Well, see, I did not know that. So there we go. Now I know why I can't find it.
Maybe I should go and write that up.
Yeah. let me look. I love my flower crown or just hat variants. So I was excited to see Chansey. I picked up a few Pikachu so I could evolve it into a flower crown Raichu. Because
you didn't already have one of those, unlike
the I didn't have one of those already. Well, I only had one Flower Crown Pikachu before that, and so I didn't want to evolve it because I wanted to have both. So now I have both. So anyway, Megan? Where are you? Have you just given up basically, or?
I just have approximately zero interest in this celebration. I don't honestly care.
Honestly, I just want the badge. And I don't know why I want the badge that badly, but like, it's like, just get the badge. I'm like, because it doesn't seem that hard. And for the badge, that's what I want.
But yet here we are.
And yet here we are.
Except for me, because I didn't even try. I was too busy looking at the April Fool's stuff with Bidoof. With someone mentioned that in the comments.
Excellent. That was excellent. A lot of April Fool's. That's the sort of April Fool's thing I can get behind. For April Fool's Day, basically the Pokemon Company, their social media just ran a bunch of clips of Bidoof. Like making a fake announcement or anything like that. My favorite part was they had a 25th anniversary logo and it was Bidoof.
It was like hilarious. They had Bidoof fan cams, K-pop style fan cams.
I will say that fan cam cracked me up. It was really good. I was laughing. That one, they got me on that one. I really enjoyed that. I don't have as negative of an opinion of April Fools as like a lot of my peers. Like, it seems like if you are an online content writer, you hate April Fools. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've trained to doubt everything. But most of the April Fool's stuff, it's like when Teletubbies goes and announces that they are doing a new cryptocurrency. It's like, I don't think that's real, guys. I don't think that's real. And people are like, I don't know what's real, what's fake. I'm like, you really think, like, I remember like when IGN produced that fake Zelda trailer.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was
there were people who covered it. Well, like, it was a cool trailer. It also was very clearly, made on, a $10,000 budget. And it was like, you know, if you look at this stuff, and that's how all April Fool's stuff, like, unless someone is straight up doing fake news, you know, most of it, there's enough tongue in cheek that you should be able to separate fact from fiction. But anyways, I think we can all get behind that, you know, really what we need to do is just all Bidoof all the time.
Yes. I will just say, when I was Googling Bidoof after that happened, one of the auto-populated things in Google about Bidoof was, is Bidoof God? And I cried. I was like crying in laughter at just that question. So anyways, I just need to bring that up for everyone to appreciate with me.
Amazing.
All right, Christian, why don't you tell us about the new books that are coming out?
So if you have small children, which I do, they are coming out with Pokemon board books. So they are called Pokemon Primers. Basically, is Pokemon teaching your kids about letters, numbers, shapes, and colors. So if you ever want to indoctrinate your children and teach them something new, this is the way to go. So it's definitely made for toddlers. So like, you know, if you've got like a 5-year-old who's getting into Pokemon, probably too old for these books. But, you know, if you've got like a 1-year-old that you want to get into Pokemon, these are the books for you. Coincidentally, I have both. Two of them are out.
Right now.
Yeah. So ABCs and 1, 2, 3 are both out now, and the colors and shapes will be out in, I believe, October.
Ooh, I've got some nieces and nephews who need that.
And they're all, and they're, I mean, and because they're board books, they're pretty cheap too. I think they're like $12 or something like that, like $10 to $12. So it's great.
Yeah.
I've been banging on that particular drum for like a long time because, you know, I've been looking for, you know, the Pokemon books for my kids, and all you can really find, you know, are either there's really old books back when Pokemon had a book club that you know, basically they are retellings of anime episodes. There are seek and finds. And then they get into like the Pokedex like encyclopedias, and that's it. You know, and it's,
I feel like there aren't there some of those. I think they did some golden books too, but like even those are hard to find.
Yeah, they did do some golden books a while ago, but you know, like I said, they're out print. But you know, one of the big things is that this is part of so the Pokemon Company has a press now, an imprint called Pikachu Press, which will be putting out books for kids. So we can expect to see more of this. It seems like, you know, somebody has been listening to our podcast and has listened to Christian once again.
Well, hey, I will definitely be buying some for the small children in my life. So that'll be great. I'm excited.
All right, let's do a pack. I cracked one open. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Right. Here we go. Fighting Energy, Phoebe, Honchkrow, Bruxish, Spoink.
That's a cute card.
Rolycoly, Frillish, Esper, Blipbug, Octillery, Reverse Holo, with the Rapid Strike.
I think that's a rare card.
And a Luxray Holo.
Pretty nice, right?
Rapid Strike. That's not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Right, let's do another one. Here we go. Fighting Energy again. Spupa. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at that name again. That is a terrible name for a Pokemon.
But Spupa, an amazing name.
Gliscor, Sword and Shieldbert. I have a tangent on Sword and Shield that we have to go on for a second that you guys ignored me about. Shinx, Gligar, Spoink. Again, this Spoink card, actually, now that I see it again, is actually pretty fantastic. Bronzor, Tepig, Reverse Holo Rolycoly, and the Galarian Slowbro. Oh, I actually love this card.
That's a beautiful card. That's a great looking card.
I love that.
I'm a big fan of that one.
So I just got to the episodes of Pokemon Journeys where Zacian and Zamazenta show up. Did I miss the point where, like, I guess they howl in the games, now that I think about it? I didn't realize they were wolves.
How did you not realize that they were wolves?
I guess I thought they were more like
they literally look like dogs.
I thought they were more like weird lion things.
I guess that kind of makes sense because, you know, there are like lions and like weird stuff.
Thank
but
you.
Like,
Thank
I
you.
Mean, I picked lions. Up, it makes a little bit of sense. It
Thank
makes
you,
a little
Megan.
Bit of sense. Like the tiniest bit of sense. I will admit. Not for Zacian. For Zamazenta, it makes sense.
Because the shield.
Yeah, because
main.
Of that. Cause, like, it kind
yeah,
because like
of the main.
And then Zacian was like, you know.
It's literally like, a dog with a sword. Literally a
yeah.
dog with a sword.
I mean, okay, but also, like.
Yeah, okay, also, we got people on the chat who were saying they can understand Zamazenta. And I can too. Zacian, there's no excuse.
The only time you've ever seen Zamazenta. Jim, did you finish Pokemon Sword and Shield?
Yeah, I did. No, now that I say that, I remember them howling. But, like, I didn't remember that when they were howling in the anime, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Wolves?
Yeah.
I mean, because when you encounter these Pokemon without their, like, regalia, you know, the rested sword or the rested shield, they are literally just big dogs. And not like, you know, like Suicune Raikou dogs, which are actually cats. No.
Nope. No.
It's not time to bring this up.
Nope.
Oh,
you can't tell me that and then tell me Suicune and all them are cats. You can't do that.
They are cats.
You can't do that.
Jim.
You can't do that. Let's go to our next pack. electric energy, another Stupa. I can't see through my hand there. Golbat. Here we go. Frillish. Blipbug. Another Roly Coly. Oh, that's a cute Chimchio. Onyx.
That's cute.
Just taking a nap. Reverse Holo Cubone. And a Holo Bronzog.
That's cool.
That one's fine. That was a fine one. All right, let's do another one. Here we go. All
right.
All right. Ta-da. There's
Bruno.
There's
a bunch of trainers are ready to beat up Jim.
Carcole. Pignite.
Hey, Jim, what is Pignite? Glamian, do you know what animal that's based off of?
Stop it. Galarian Slowpoke. There it is. Look at our good boy Yamper. There he is. Murkrow. Hey, look!
Entei,
our good
dolphin, Entei.
Our good boy dog. Look how cute he is.
That was a very timely pull.
what an adorable. And a Stoutland V card.
Ooh, you got
best
boy.
Look at that. Look at that mouse.
Stop it, Christian.
He will never stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
So rude. All right. Well, I guess I could do one more. Should I do one more?
One more. You gotta do even. You gotta do four. Okay, come on.
Last one.
Yeah.
Fire energy.
Yep.
Side rope.
Yep,
what
egg.
Is that?
That? Yeah, I know that was.
Hey, Grump, go back to the Grump egg really quick.
That artwork, you're watching. If you are listening to this without the video, I need you to stop, look up the video,
what
and look up this artwork.
What is going on here?
Man, that is great. I
Good
love that
Lord.
Art. That is amazing
awesome.
Stuff.
Okay, there's a Luxio to go with my Luxray, Galarian, Mr. Mime.
Yep. See, there's another dog.
Can't tell if he's dancing or slipping. Stop.
Fomantis.
Spearow. Zubat.
Cool
Cubone,
bird.
Dottler, and a Marowak. Not even a holo. Womp womp.
That's all right.
Maybe what we'll do, seeing that Spearow just had me think, a conversation for another day that we'll do, and we'll let the chat chime in on this one. But worst bird, everyone's least favorite bird, because I think Spearow for me ranks pretty high on that one. I hate that one.
Yeah, definitely Zubat. So many Zubat I just encounter it all the time.
All right. Well, what I wanted to do, because I'm not even going to acknowledge it, just going to keep on moving. What I wanted to do to say, you know, and also to help celebrate, you know, 100th episode is we haven't read reviews in a while. So I definitely wanted to do some of that. So with that, let's do that. You know, we're we're closer than we have been to getting back into the office. And hopefully when we do, we can definitely get some shirts out for the folks who have left us reviews and we've read them on the air. So, you know, back in the show when we were starting, when we started, we haven't done this in a while. If you left us a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, we get you a comic.com t-shirt. I have everyone who has done it up to this point. I've got all emails saved in a folder. And so as soon as we're back in the office, we'll be able to get them out. But this one from Duncan Kong, titled The Road to 100. I started listening to this podcast a month and a half ago. First episode was 93, and I listened to it every day on my way to work and then while at work. I love this show. I love the cast. I live for the energy these Poker fans bring to the table, and the banter and tangents are the cherry on top. Next week, the show hits 100, and I've only been a fan for a short time, but I feel like I've journeyed with the cast since episode one now that I've heard them all. Thanks for filling my mornings with fun, guys. I'll be a regular going forward. Hashtag Vaporeon Squad.
Yes, that is how you end a review. Right there. Hit me up on Twitter. We will talk about Vaporeon all day.
I have here's another one from Red2700. I've completed my Pokedex podcast decks. I have officially completed the podcast decks from the vast amount of episodes a Wild podcast has appeared. I started listening to this podcast right before Thanksgiving due to the Go Beyond update, and there wasn't a whole lot of information about the new features. This podcast has three wonderful hosts who truly know what they're talking about, even if Hoffer mispronounces their names wrong. I tune in every Monday to watch it on Twitch, and I cannot wait to continue to add to the DLC decks entries every week. Thank you for that one. Here you go. Hey, it's me, Milk. Best podcast ever. I found this podcast during a long car ride, and I have been frequently checking to see if there were any more episodes that I have missed. A Wild podcast has appeared. Makes me look forward to Thursdays, when the show was on Thursday, because I know I will get to listen to this podcast. My personal favorite Pokemon is, of course, Bulbasaur. I have around 37 Bulbasaur plushes and a painted giant Bulbasaur on my wall. Keep up the good work, y'all.
Whoa, I want a picture of that. Take a picture.
I would like a picture of the giant Bulbasaur on the wall, please.
Yeah.
This one's from Ben8WP. I love it. Geodude is cooler if you get to know all about him. I still love Vaporeon, but I love all EV evolutions. Bulbasaur is amazing, but Charizard is just as cool. Please read my review. There you go. Got you covered.
Done. Check off the list.
Done. all right, and last one I'll read is from Bat Smurf, a podcast master. I was never really into podcasts, but about a month ago I stumbled onto this one and spent the last few weeks binging all 80 plus episodes, and I loved every second of it. It's apparent that Jim, Megan, and Christian truly love and appreciate Pokemon just like I have for the last 20 plus years. I love the wide variety of topics, and I'm glad that now I can get up-to-date news on the world of Pokemon. Relaxed, informed, and at times unpredictable. It is a must-have on any Pokemon fan's list. Thank you for all the hours of enjoyment and knowledge, and I look forward to many hours more.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Those reviews are kind words. Mm-hmm. I love them. And I also love that the bird chat, the bird comment has gotten some chat there. Pedove. Mm-hmm. Definitely, probably, actually, I lie. Pedo was probably my least favorite because I hate pigeons. They're wow. The worst. Pigeons are the worst.
Aren't those like the national bird of New York City, Jim?
Then that's why they're the worst. The dirtiest.
There we go. Birds.
Christian, well, whoever can go first. But I think the other thing we can do is, that we would do is favorite moments of the show.
Hmm.
Probably my favorite moment, honestly, was in the earlier episodes when we found out the true level of your depravity, Jim, and your the various scams that you used to pull on a kid, and I would make up jokes, and then you would just in stride tell a childhood story in which you basically did the thing that I was making fun of you about. And it's just great. I'm glad. So that's right up there. That has been one of my favorite things. Is more generally speaking, getting to know both of you a lot better over the course of this.
That was kind of my thing. Back in the chat, I will never forget Gibraltar. That was.
That was an excellent moment.
That's a good
one. When my wife,
I
will never live down the razzing my wife gave me. She's like, the color of your office. It's that's Gibraltar amazing. Gray. How could you get that wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I'm tired all the time. Leave me be, please. Oh yeah, that one. I just basically was ready just to quit the internet in general. A hermit living on a mountain. So embarrassed.
The thing that I have loved the most, obviously, is just really like we have built a very cool community around the show, which is awesome. We definitely have a lot of diehard fans in the chat. Leopard Pokefan and Roose Bane and Dungeon Master and Calder and Huckleberry Flynn. Definitely, appreciate all you guys for hanging around as long as we have. Obviously, I think one of the other fairly recent-ish episode, but is navigating around and not letting Christian, go down the road he wants to go when Pokemon introduced the V cards.
A lot
of innuendos on that show.
I mean, I loved basically when we got confirmed Pokemon Snap news, and I got to come back as the MVP of this podcast and saying, like, y'all thought it wouldn't happen. Y'all wanted it to happen, but I believed it was going to happen.
What happened? PokeFan episode 34, where the one and only time dropped an F-bomb.
Yep. Good old time. We were far enough into the podcast, you were comfortable.
It was comfortable.
let your defenses slip a little.
The pause that happened right after that from the both of you is one that I could not forget, because you both were just like, oh, he did that. And then immediately we're like, Jim! I was like,
we were like, it took like a second to process. Like,
why did you, like, right before that episode, you had like, Christian, you need to like turn down the innuendo and cursing. You know, we have kids who listen to us. And like literally, like, in the chat that week, like Jim sitting there like, Christian, can't have you making any more V-card jokes anymore. We never know what sort of kids are watching. But hey, I am going to, I'm going to make sure that our podcast is rated PG-13 and get my one curse.
It was an accident. Jeez.
Hey. Oh man, such memories. Yo. Such good old
memories. 100 weeks of memories.
We've been through a lot, right? Like a lot of news has happened during the show, and it's been a cool thing. We got to go through, a big launch like Sword and Shield, a lot of big stuff came to Pokemon Go. We saw the explosion of the trading card game, once again. I got to see a new anime happen, right? Like, we're basically we got to see Sun and Moon end and Journey start. We got to see the transition from Disney XD to Netflix with the anime, right? Like, there's like a lot of big, Pokemon kind of moments.
I mean, we're forgetting Detective Pikachu. I mean, we got the first live action.
Pikachu is the whole thing.
It's crazy.
It's what started the whole thing.
Yeah, that was like, because that was like what? Like three or that was pretty quickly, like right into when we started this, because we started it in would have been May 2018, I think? Or was it 2019? Was it 2018? No, it was 2019.
2019, right before Detective Pikachu started. And we started because of Detective Pikachu, we just thought the timing was right. Mm-hmm. And then, Night Fighters, look, that Pokemon fact of the week for Poliwag Swirls, where the realization that those are his intestines still haunts me. And that is my go-to Pokemon fact of the, Pokemon fact whenever someone like, oh, Pokemon, that's for kids. I go, oh yeah, did you know this? And I pull up a picture of a Poliwag and I go, you see that swirl? That's his intestines. What? Mm-hmm. And what?
No, that's true.
All of it's true.
I think that was what turned the PokeFact of the week into the the PokeFact of the week.
Well, and then there was the spooky ones we did for October, where we basically learned that, you know, Lampent is basically just the worst. the scary,
just a firefly of the dead.
Yeah,
I do explain like some of this to, like, you know all the parents of the kids that, you know, are in my backyard all the time. I explain to them some of this stuff, and they give me the weirdest looks when I'm just like, I was like, oh yeah, no, like, you know, Gengar's mouth is actually a portal to hell, and they're like, what are we doing letting our kids watch this? Yep. Oh man, it's great. I love Pokemon so much. It's
great memories, great facts, and we got so much more to go through.
So many more to go.
So many more.
Christian, give us the this week's Pokemon fact of the week, and then we'll get out of here.
So, you know, Articuno is actually my second favorite Pokemon. It is second only to Bulbasaur. I've always loved Articuno. Not a very interesting Pokemon in terms of its Pokedex facts. You know, it's basically a cold bird, guys. It's a cold bird. But the one of the things that is cool about it is, you know, the Galarian variant. It's got, you know, it has these, like, the wings, you know, its feather blades are actually made of psychic energy. Those aren't just feathers. They're actually like Psylocke blades.
Are they really?
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Its feather-like blades are composed of psychic energy and can shear through iron sheets as if they were paper. It's like, okay, so Galarian Articuno is basically Psylocke from the X-Men, you know, only without the very, very many problematic aspects of it. You know, also, I do love Articuno's Japanese name is literally just Freezer.
Yep.
Okay, that's actually pretty awesome.
That's actually what it's called. Like, not even the Japanese name for Freezer. No, it's just straight up its name is Freezer in Japan.
I need to see a crossover between Articuno and Frieza from Dragon Ball. that's what I'm going for. What do those two series have in common? Naming puns. That's what I want.
there is a cool give me a second, I'm trying to pull it up now and I'm getting a stupid ad. Maybe I'll get it. There is like a cool thing about Articuno. Like I said, Articuno PokeFacts kind of suck, but there are a cool couple of cool things. All I want to do is read it without ads. Dang it.
Can't happen.
Yeah, apparently it's not. There's, you know, this is pretty, pretty bad. There we go. Just let me move. Nope. We're never going to see it. All right. Well,
we can circle back.
Yeah. Hang on.
Oh, chat. I have breaking news.
What?
Shadow execute.
Oh, there we go.
I had a balloon fly over my head, and I said, "Yes." Oh God, if I'm not going to catch this one, I'm going to be so freaking pissed.
So Articuno, the other thing was, and I finally got up. One of the few like official crossovers between the Pokemon movies and the Pokemon anime is that there is an episode where as they're traveling through the Orange Islands, Todd points to a mountain, and it's like, oh yeah, that's Articuno's home, and that is actually Ice Island from The Power of One. I always forgot that, and I went back and like I watched it after I saw that this morning, and it's like, sure enough, it's the same thing. It's like one of the few times that they actually made the Pokemon canon. The aspect of the movie canon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right, that's all I got.
All right.
Now you know.
Well, everyone, we're 100 episodes in with indeterminate amount more. So let's just keep going, and then we'll see when we decide to call it a day. But that's not anytime soon, for sure. Appreciate everyone for taking the time, as always, every week to spend an hour or so with us as we talk about this crazy little franchise we love so much. If you want to find out ways to support the show, number of ways you can do that. Tell your friends,
just, you know, just tell them, like, hey, I like Pokemon. You like Pokemon. We talk Pokemon about Pokemon a lot. Why don't you listen to this show that I listen to? It's great. And then we can talk about the things on the show, and then we can tell more people about it. And then that's how this thing grows. You could also watch live twitch.tv/comicbook on Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Maybe it's still 5 o'clock across the pond, maybe 6 o'clock. I don't know how the time changes works like that. So around there, you can go and chat with us live. We got a crew in the chat every week. That makes this a ton of fun to do. Obviously you'll hear us mention them throughout the show. It's 5 o'clock. Thank you, Leopard Pokefan, for confirming that for us. Otherwise, you can find this show wherever podcasts can be found: iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. If it is going to pull in a RSS feed for podcasts, we're there. You can even listen to us on Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, and boom, it'll play the most recent episode. That's a pretty cool thing. And then, like I said, you know, like we read some reviews earlier in the episode. Leave us a 5-star review if you read it on the air. Get this cool T-shirt. Boom. Those watching, otherwise it's just the comic book logo is what it is. That's what you get.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, really appreciate it. Look, we'll be back here same time, same place next week, folks. So we hope to catch you there. See you later, everybody.